Blog Talk Radio.
Me chair more upper canoe upright tighten the thing to get up all quickly when I'm on a mother if you get up all. Oh, get up on move. Things all upright honey upright kite me. My name is Ojira Po Quasi Radnehmta Akan. Ojira Po of the Apamu Nation in North America within Ojira. Purified nation. Western Hemisphere. Did I say we thank you once again for tuning into our broadcast. This is our second broadcast of this week. Our broadcast. We've taken a number of months. Many of you are aware that we are recently refusal our first documentary film out of Capo de Ibiza, African American Ancestral Divination. In that film that we produced, and you, some of you know we had a crowning effort going back a couple years ago. Over the course of about a year and a half, we raised those funds. We went to various country to film the different individuals who are in the documentary. We went to Georgia, South Carolina, Florida, Cincinnati, different parts of the country. Showcasing the forms of regular divination served in blood circles in the Western Hemisphere, the Great Perversity era. It is these forms of regular divination that preserve blood circles in our ancestral religious traditions. These forms of divination that empowered us and guided us the best means to wage war and their forced enslavement in the Western Hemisphere. So we showcase the Akan tradition, the Juju tradition, which is the Yoruba tradition in North America, the Voodoo tradition, which is the Ebe tradition in North America, the Wanga tradition, which is the Ovambo tradition in North America, the Ingyan tradition, which is the Fang tradition in North America. The film features Voodoo Queen Galinda Laveau of New Orleans, Mama Ashakir out of Cincinnati, Ohio, Wabetch out of Kissimmee, Florida, Retit Kajara Niaya Nebethet, who is based in Atlanta, and myself, Ojirapo Kwesi Radna Hempata Khan. I'm now based, and we are based in Washington, D.C., from Chicago, but based now in Washington, D.C., us coming together, showcasing and exploring our different forms of ancestral religious practice from our different traditions. This is what the film is about. So we've been going from city to city screening the film. This is one of the reasons we took the hiatus from broadcasting. And also we just a number of weeks ago, we also released the digital version, the on-demand version of the film online. So you can go right now to our page on Vimeo, and you'll see that link on our website, and you can go and download the film. You can rent the film for $11 and watch it online right now. You can purchase the film for $16 and download the film and watch it right now. And then we also have the DVD available at the discount price of $15, which you can purchase online as well. So you can go to our website, Ojirapo.com website/AmadoCapo_Adebisa.html, and you'll see the link on the various pages of our website as well as on Facebook. So this is what we have been doing. We are also working on our second documentary film, Hoodoo Akan Ancestral Religion in North America. Our goal is to complete that film by our fifth annual Hoodoo Mind, Hoodoo Nation Festival, which is in October. So we have a crowdfunding effort for that. We've already started some of the filming, but we are working to complete that filming in spring and summer and so forth. So this is what we've been doing for the past number of months where we have not been broadcasting. But we started back broadcasting last night, and tonight we are back. This is Yauda, which is Thursday, also called Yada and Abada. The name of our broadcast for Yauda is Amain Sim, Affairs of the Nation, where we deal with issues that are addressing the the Afurakani, Afurakani, the African and Black, or mine nation specifically, Ojiramai, the purified nation, Afurakani, Afurakani people in the Western Hemisphere. We recognize the nature and function of an Omine from a purified perspective, from a holistic perspective. An Omine, which is the Akan term for nation, also a term used in ancient Kemet for a polity or organizational structure, a polity or a nation. An Omine, a nation, is a living, breathing entity governed by specific forces in creation, no different than one of your organs, which is a living, breathing entity governed by a specific force and specific forces in creation. And the cells that comprise that organ, they are children of that organal structure. When they live in harmony with one another and execute their function, they are supporting the overall entity that they are a part of, but they must also live in harmony with the force that governs that entity. So an Omine, a nation, is a living, breathing entity. When we were forced from Afuraka, Afurakai, Africa, during the Umusu Okesie, the Great Perversity, the enslavement era, and forced into the Western Hemisphere, we maintained our ancestral religious traditions. However, when we were forced into this region, we had to adapt to this region. Of course, just on a mundane level, we had to adapt to the fact that there's a such thing called snow and cold and so forth in many areas. We had to adapt to different plant life, animal life, and mineral life of food sources, as well as medicinal sources, plant life and mineral life we had never seen before, animal life we had never seen before. We had to learn how to procure medicine and prepare medicine, as well as nutrients and food stuffs from these different aspects of creation and so forth. So we had to adapt to this region. When our people escaped from enslavement, freed ourselves from enslavement, liberated ourselves from enslavement and so forth, waged war against the whites in our offspring and moved to a different region, we were naturally drawn by our Nananom Nsamampo, our spiritually cultivated ancestresses and ancestors, as well as the Abosom, the divinities, to naturally coalesce in a specific region of the Earth Mother's body. And when we naturally coalesced in a specific region of the Earth Mother's body, and then we began to blend ancestral blood circles under the direction of our spiritually cultivated ancestresses and ancestors, and we blend these ancestral blood circles so ancestresses and ancestors can return through these harmoniously blended ancestral blood circles. We're living in a different region of the Earth Mother's body. We had to learn how to interface with the Earth Mother divinities in this region of their body, Asaseyafua and Asasiya, the fertile and barren Earth Mother divinities and so forth. We had to learn how to interface with the plant life, animal life, mineral life in this region of the Earth Mother's body for food as well as medicine. We had to learn how to interface with the unique expression of the Abosom, the forces of nature, as they manifest in this region. So this confluence of events, this unique expression of functioning and interfacing with this region of the Earth Mother's body, taking in the food, medicine, and so forth from this region into our bodies, which transforms our cells, including our sperm and ovum cells, and therefore when we have children, their energy is resonating at the frequency of this region of the Earth Mother's body. We're the same descendants from Afuraka, Afurakai, but we have a slightly different approach based on the region of the Earth Mother's body that we are now dwelling in, that we have bound ourselves to ritually through spirit possession and spirit communication. So therefore, we have a unique expression of Afurakani, Afurakani culture, ritual practice, ritual song, ritual dance, ritual clothing, medicine, food, everything. We have our own expression, born of our locative identity, our unique expression of Afurakani, Afurakani culture and religious practice based on our interfacing with this region of the Earth Mother's body and all that that entails. So we are not dependent on anyone outside of our direct ancestral blood circles for our ancestral religious practice or our ancestral culture or our approach to nation building and restoration. So when we talk about ourselves as Ojiramai, Ojira means pure purification. It also means to celebrate a ceremony of purification in the Akan language. But when we look in the language of ancient Kemet, Jira means pure purification. It also means to celebrate a ceremony of purification. Because this is not an Akan term, it goes back to ancient Kanat, Nubia, and Kemet, and it carries those same meanings. Omine means nation, but mine also means west, land of the setting sun. So Ojira mine means the purified Ojira, Omine, nation, Omine, land of the west, the setting sun. We are the purified nation, Afurakani, Afurakani people in the western hemisphere. We were separated from the continent. We lost and regained on the surface our ancestral religious traditions. Deep down, of course, you can never lose your ancestral religious traditions when you can communicate with your ancestresses and ancestors who founded the traditions. On the surface, if some of us neglected certain things to a certain extent for a short period, then we return to our ancestral religious practices. That's a quote-unquote losing and returning, a purification of ourselves, our culture, our religious practice, and our approach to nation building. So when we call ourselves Ojira Mine, the purified nation, Afurakani, Afurakani people in the Western Hemisphere, this is all that that entails, rooted in our locative identity. So our approach to nation building and any issue that arises, problems that arise, issues that we need to address, we approach them from a nationist perspective, an Amaniye perspective. The term Amaniye means nation, customs, traditions, and so forth, but we're talking about nationism, and we utilize that term nationism as the purification of nationalism. It is an approach to nation building rooted in our ancestral religious values. We, as we said earlier, we recognize a nation to be a living, breathing entity, no different than an organ, which is a living, breathing entity governed by specific Abosom forces in nature. When we are aligned with the forces in nature that govern this naturally forming organal structure, because we were drawn to a certain region of the Earth Mother's body to coalesce and blend ancestral blood circles, and we align with those forces in nature and the ancestresses and ancestors who directed us to coalesce, then we can address every aspect of our community in a harmonious fashion, because we know who's governing every issue. So this is what we're dealing with when we talk about nationism, the purification of nationalism. Tonight's broadcast, the title you see is Mesu Heru, Ne Ojira Mine, the Sons of Heru, and Nationism, the Purification of Nationalism. So why did we show that image of the four sons of Heru? Mesu, in the language of ancient Kemet, offspring, children, offspring, and so forth, and the Mesu Heru are the four sons of Heru. And it's directly related to nationalism. The nationism, the purification of nationalism. When we look at the cosmology of ancient Kanit and Kemet, Nubian Egypt, and cosmology in general, no matter what group we come from, Akan, Yoruba, Bassa, Fula, Maasai, Ibibio, Ewe, Fang, Ovambo, Obimbundu, whatever the group is, or how it has manifested in the Western Hemisphere, when we look at the way the forces in nature interface with one another in creation, you look at the stories and the murals and the artwork and so forth dealing with this kind of cosmology, these are not things that are made up. We don't make up myths and so forth. We communicate directly with the forces of nature through spirit possession and spirit communication. The forces that animate the sun, animate the moon, animate the planets, animate the black earth, the red earth, the rivers, the oceans, the atmosphere, thunder, lightning, every aspect of creation. We are impacted by that, every aspect of creation physically, but we're also impacted by the forces of nature that animate these features of creation through spirit possession and spirit communication. These forces in nature interface with one another in a harmonious fashion, and we align with these forces in nature as they are interfacing with one another in a harmonious fashion, and we see the flow of that harmonious functioning, then we can replicate that functioning in art. We can replicate that functioning when we're telling stories. We can replicate that functioning when we're writing out or documenting the interfacing of the divinities. We're simply reflecting what's happening in reality, what's sustaining creation. We can also recognize how these forces in nature on a macro level are also manifest within us on a micro level. Everything that's happening in the body of the Earth Mother and so forth happens within our microcosm, our physical bodies. Our various organs within our physical bodies are replicated by the organs of the different regions of the Earth Mother's body. So when we see different aspects of Earth through the seasons operating harmoniously, we can look at our different organs and systems and see them functioning and interfacing harmoniously. And if there's a problem, we can learn how to bring balance to that issue by looking at the way the divinities operate within the macrocosm. We can see how that operates in the microcosm. So when you see the cosmology, you see the four sons of Heru. There's a reason why there's four sons of Heru and a five or six or seven and so forth. It has to do with what's happening in reality, the spiritual forces that are governing certain aspects of creation. So, a short piece with regard to that, we want to go into that and show out how it's directly related to nation building. And nationism, the purification of nationalism, our approach to nation building restoration rooted in our ancestral religious values. Why our ancestral religious values? 2.2 billion Christians on Earth, 1.8 billion Muslims on Earth, 1.1 Hindus on Earth, 500 million Buddhists on Earth, 100 million plus so-called Jews on Earth. When you add up these different numbers, close to 5.6, 5.7, 5.8 billion individuals embracing fake clowns, pseudo-religions with these fictional cartoon characters who never existed of any race or of any form whatsoever, inclusive of the fictional cartoon characters Jesus, Yeshua, Muhammad, Abraham, Isaac, Ishmael, Solomon, Sheba, Menelik, David, Moses, Aaron, Muhammad, Buddha, Brahman, Allah, Yahweh, all of these fictional cartoon characters that the whites and their offspring have manufactured, and how we have proven in our book, Cuckoo Tum Tum, The Ancestral Jurisdiction, how all of these fictional characters were manufactured. When you understand that and then how that has impacted our people, where hundreds of millions of our people have been embracing these fake traditions, we understand that the whites and their offspring are liars. So if they say 5.6, 5.7, 5.8 billion people on Earth, out of the 7+ billion people on Earth are embracing these fake traditions, if we're generous, they're probably really overstating that number by at least 50+%. It's probably more so 2 billion or 3 billion instead of 5.6, 5.7, 5.8 billion. But even if it is 2 billion, that is billions of people embracing these fake traditions. The one thing that's controlling the minds of billions of people are these fake religions. Most importantly, what's controlling the minds of our people? We're not concerned about the whites and their offspring. They can practice fake traditions all they want. We're only concerned about our people eradicating these foolish fake beliefs out of our spiritual systems. And we also need to know how our enemy operates and how they think and how they make decisions, what their values are and so forth. And when they're governed by these religions, we understand what decisions they're going to make politically, what decisions they make in medicine, what decisions they make in technology, what decisions they make in every aspect of life, because we can see what governs their thought process and what they value and what they are seeking to receive and what they're seeking to control. But when you see that billions of people are controlled by these fake religions, if you're intelligent, and our people are intelligent, we recognize do not deal and address these fake religions, then nothing you are going to do politically is going to be successful. We must understand that our nation-building process, our liberation, and the sustenance of that liberation, establishing a sovereign, independent nation, securing its sovereignty, it is dependent upon us eradicating these fake religious practices from the mindset and the spirits of our people. If we don't address the one thing that's controlling the minds of billions of people on earth, then we're simply being immature and foolish. This is why Black nationalism has been ineffective and it will continue to be ineffective. This is why Pan-Africanism has been ineffective and it will be continued to be ineffective. If you do not approach nation building from a realistic, holistic foundation rooted in our ancestral religious values, the very forces in nature that govern all things, you can't ignore them and try to establish a harmonious national platform or an approach to nation building when you reject the very forces that undergird the harmonious interfacing of all naturally occurring things, plant life, animal life, mineral life, and Afrakani, Afrakai, human life, not only on a microcosm with regard to your organs and so forth, macrocosm with regard to the earth mother's body, and the plant life, animal life, and mineral life operating within the earth, but also within the communal body of Afrakani, Afrakai people. We are children of different Abosom. We carry different energetic complexes. And when we interact with one another, we are like the cells interacting with one another in the body. If we don't know who we are and what kind of cell we are, we don't know what kind of energy complex we are because we don't know what Abosom or Orisha, Vodou, and so forth govern us, then we'll simply try to interact and interface with one another like the whites and their offspring based on what we have been conditioned to desire and think that we need, and will seek to control and eradicate individuals who get in our way of the things that we are seeking to control or acquire. This is what the whites and their offspring want us to do so we can continue to be self-destructive. But when we understand who we are spiritually, what Abosom govern us, what Orisha govern us, what Vodou govern us, then we know what kind of cell within the great divine body we are and we function accordingly. If we're an immune system cell, we function as immune system cells within the communal body. And we operate with regard to defense. If we're an excretory system cell, a renal system cell within the great divine body, we seek to provide fluid balance, mineral balance within the body. We become healers, healeresses, and so forth, and we contribute that to the community. If we're part of the skeletal system within the great divine body, we become engineers and so forth, structural engineers and so forth, and civil engineers, and we provide that to the great divine body. No matter what people, what aspect of creation people are operating under based on the Abosom, the divinity that governs, when we know who we are, we know what we have to contribute to the overall communal body, and we know how to function harmoniously, and we know how to solve problems in a harmonious fashion without creating more problems in the future, near future and distant future and so forth. But when we don't have that cosmological foundation, and we're simply trying to structure a nation according to the dictates and the foolish patterns of the whites and their offspring, we simply become self-destructive. So when you understand the fake religions controlling the minds of billions of people, you cannot ignore that quote-unquote gorilla in the room and pretend like, well, we're going to establish a nation of independence and sovereignty, and we're just not going to deal with religion. If Black people are involved in Christianity and Islam, we'll just let them continue to do that. We'll meet them where they are. That's foolish. That's immature. That's ignorant. That's idiotic. And it never works. And it never will. It's immature. When you say, well, we just need to use, as long as they're using their fake religion for revolutionary purposes, then it's okay. That is foolish. That is immature. That is idiotic. And those who are still utilizing that program and that mindset, they have been ineffective for the past 100 years, and they will continue to be ineffective. So this is why we don't deal with nationalism. We're dealing with nationism, an approach to nation building rooted in our ancestral religious values. We have to get beyond hero worshiping. we're too intelligent and we need to be more mature. I need to grow up. We're not hero worshipers. We're Heru worshipers, but not hero worshipers. Whether it was Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, or any other luminary in the past, where they made bad decisions based on their conditioning because they were involved in the fake religions, Christianity, Islam, as well as other individuals who were involved in these fake religions. They were perpetuating misinformation and a flawed program. They didn't know any better, but we need to be mature enough to recognize that and not embrace the same foolish and flawed approach. If you're mature, you embrace reality. So we don't move in the same fashion because we have some foolish nostalgia. So we're establishing real liberation. We have a precedent for establishing sovereignty and securing ourselves in our sovereignty. And the only people who ever established sovereignty, freed themselves from enslavement, established independent sovereign nations, and defended that sovereignty intergenerationally are those people within our clans who held on to their ancestral religious practices and built upon that foundation of order rooted in their ancestral religious values. And we have that mandate, that ancestral mandate, to pick up where they left off and complete that process. So this is the direction that we move in. And this is why ancestral religious values are at the root of nationism, Amaniye, or nationism. So in this piece dealing with the Mesu Heru, or the four sons of Heru, that cosmology manifests in a very apparent way when you pay attention. Anytime you're dealing with deities, it's dealing with forces in nature, it's dealing with the organs and systems within the body, but it's also dealing, as well as the spirit body, the physical body and the spirit body, but it's also dealing with the communal body of the Oman, the Afurakani, Afurakaidi nation, and how we interface with one another as children of these divinities. So what we said in the short piece that we wrote with regard to that, we said the four sons of Heru, as shown in the image, and this is the image that you see, the promotional image we use for the broadcast, the four sons of Heru, shown in the image, govern the internal organs, which are the foundation of the purification and perpetuation of the life cycle within the individual. The four Hap, who governs the lungs, and this Hap is different from Hapi, who governs the river. Hapi or Set and Hapi met the twin divinities of the river. That is one. Those are two deities named Hapi, but this divinity is a different divinity called Hap, and he governs the lungs. Then you have Dwamutef, who governs the stomach. And you have Amoste, who governs the liver, and Kepsenwef, who governs the intestines. Now, you'll see in ancient Kemet these four divinities. Sometimes they are, three of them are, have the sacred animal totems on the head of a male body, a human body, but then the head is the animal totem. For Kepsenwef is the falcon, and Dwamutef is the jackal, and Hop, it is the baboon, and then the fourth, Amoste, has the human head and so forth, but sometimes they will show anthropomorphically all with human heads and so forth, just for male deities. And of course, when you see the Atinebwa animal totem, it's simply reflecting the energy complex that governs that individual. So you'll see those four sons of Heru. When someone makes transition and the body is mummified, then these organs of the visceral organs, the organs of the viscera, are removed and placed in canopy jars, as they call them. And those canopy jars have the head of the son of Heru that governs that specific organ and so forth. And they're preserved. These organs are shrines of these divinities that carry their energy. But it's not just after death. It's also during life. It's during life within our physical bodies, but then they also govern the same great divine organs within the great divine body of Amenet and Amen. So this is why we talk about these Abosom, these deities, also govern the purification and perpetuation of the life cycle within the institution and, oh my, the nation. Now, we go further down, and you'll see, you can see this short article on our Facebook page when we were talking about this initially, when we posted this a few weeks ago. Now, we talked about the life cycle of an institution. We have our Ojidaman Purified Nation, Afurakanu, Afurai Kainu Africans in the Western Hemisphere Conference on June 22nd, around the summer solstice. This is our fourth annual conference, 13,019, so-called 2019. We have three conferences per year. In mid-October, we have our Hoodoo Mind, Hoodoo Nation Festival. And of course, our new year begins on September 22nd or September 23rd, which is the fall equinox. 3 weeks after our New Year's Day is our Hoodoo Mind, Hoodoo Nation Festival, where we deal specifically with Akan ancestry religion in North America, which is what the Hoodoo tradition is. And the Hoodoo Mind, Hoodoo Nation Festival is the only festival of its kind, showcasing Akan ancestry religion from a pure, authentic perspective. That's in October. In March, around the spring equinox, we have our Etchi Sign Ancestral Religious Reversion Conference, where we showcase the different ancestral religious traditions that have been preserved in the blood circles of our people here in North America. Hoodoo, which is the Akan tradition, Juju, which is the Yoruba tradition in North America, Voodoo, which is the Ebe and Fon tradition in North America, and Gengan, which is the Fong tradition in North America, Wanga, which is the Ovambo tradition in North America, Grigri, which is the Mindi tradition, Bambara tradition in North America, various different traditions all coming together to talk about and share and examine how we approach ancestral religious practice and harmonizing our thoughts, intentions, and actions with divine order through our ancestral religious practice. And then around the summer solstice, we have our final conference of our year, which is Ojidaman, the Purified Nation, Afurakani, Afurakani people in the Western Hemisphere. It is our nation-building conference. Our focus is Amaniye nationism, the purification of nationalism, our approach to nation-building, as we said, rooted in our ancestral religious values. This year is the fourth annual Ojidaman conference. The fourth annual conference is also the final conference of our year of 13,019. Because in the summertime, we don't have conferences. And then by September 22nd or 23rd, depending on the year, that is the final 21st or the 22nd is the final day of 13,019, so-called 2019. And September 22nd or 23rd is the first day of the new year, which will be our year of 13,020. The whites in our stream call 2020. And our year begins about 100 days prior to their new year. But our conference, our purification conference, our nation building conference is the final conference of our year. This year is the fourth annual conference, and it is very important that we have come to this number of four. This is why we're talking about the Mesut Heru, the four sons of Heru. And when you look at the life cycle, of course, when you look at the lungs and Hop governing the lungs and Dwamotef governing the intestines and Amoste governing the liver, and Kebsenuef governing the intestines and so forth, Dwamotef governing the stomach, Amoste governing the liver, and Kebsenuef governing the intestines. These are these visceral organs that regulate and perpetuate and purify life and so forth. But we also deal with that purification with regard to an institution. So when we're talking about the fourth year, this year is significant as it is critical for building a solid foundation moving forward. That solid foundation means that those who are serious about Amainsesu nation building restoration are properly identified and properly identify themselves as such. Such identification as members of Ojidaman is not simply based upon knowledge and awareness of Ojidaman, the purified nation, but upon consistent and disciplined action without profanation. here's the institutional piece. In the first year of the birth of an organization or institutional effort, things are brand new, and many are excited or intrigued based upon the new entity. Life is breathed into the institution. That first year is governed by Hop, the divinity who governs the lungs. Taking a deep breath, you're vitalized, you know, full of energy and so forth, oxygen, all of that. But the same is true of when you establish a new institution. We're not just talking about a physical edifice, but an institution. For example, our nation building conference, bringing people from around the country who are identifying or connected to Ojiraman, the purified nation, which simply means the purified nation, Afro-Akani people, African black people in the Western Hemisphere. So people understanding instinctively that that's who they are. We've had people come from all over the country, whether it was California or Alabama or New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Florida, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Detroit, all from all over the country, people coming out to this nation building conference. So in the first year of the birth of an organization or institutional effort, things are brand new and many are excited or intrigued based upon the new entity. Life is breathed into the institution. This is governed by Hop, so that life is breathed into the institution by these spiritual lungs. In the second year, expansion comes. As more become aware and more in the community are nourished by the institutional effort. That expansion is governed by Duamutef, who governs the stomach, taking in the food, taking in the nutrients to nourish, but also expanding, developing, you know, expanding. Eventually, you know, you expand, you grow, you develop muscular structure and so forth because of the foods you eat. You're growing, developing, becoming strong and so forth. That second year's expansion, the first year was inaugural. People become excited because everything is new, but the second year, expansion comes and more people are nourished. Duamutef governs that process. In the third year, now it's no longer an anomaly. It's no longer something seen as just some fluke like, oh, somebody had a little organization. People have little events or conferences all the time, and then they just disappear. You never hear from them again. Now, we had the first year, everything was brand new. Life is breathed into the institutional effort or the organization. The second year, expansion takes place and even more people coming on board. The third year, people realize this is not just some fly-by-night organization or institutional effort. This institution is here to stay. It's something that is serious. So in the third year, challenges to discipline are exposed. Those who were merely intrigued or excited yet not serious nor disciplined, begin to manifest a waning of their intrigue. Intrigue does not last forever. Some become stagnant, while others revert back to previous conditioned behaviors, including self-destructive behaviors. Those who are focused and disciplined take on the challenges that manifest as the work of the institution becomes more weighty because of expansion, but it also becomes more weighty, not only because of expansion and production, but it also becomes more weighty because of the thinning of the community. So the work continues to expand. It becomes more weighty because it's expanding, but because some people have fallen out of that intrigue and they began to wane to a certain extent, the minority of focused, disciplined individuals have to take up that slack as well, so that work of expansion and production becomes more weighty for them because of the thinning of the community. This is governed by Amoste, who governs the liver, oxidation of the blood and detoxifying the blood and so forth. But there's also some degeneration. There's also some weakening and so forth. When the fourth year arrives, those who were innately focused and disciplined restore the focus of the new streamlined and purified institution. This establishes a firm foundation upon which forward movement grounded in Nyamewa, Nyame, and Sheshe divine order takes place. This is governed by Keb Senewef. Keb Senewef governs the intestines. When we think about the intestines, very often we think about simply the production of waste and the elimination of waste, but that's dealing with the large intestine, that's dealing with the colon and so forth. But the longest part of the intestine is the small intestine, and the major function of the small intestine is absorption of nutrients from food. 90% of our absorption of nutrients from digested food happens within the small intestine, and only 10% happens in the stomach and parts of the large intestine and so forth, but 90% of the absorption of nutrients from food happens within the small intestine. So that's the major function of the small intestine, absorbing those nutrients and releasing them into the system and so forth. That's what's taking place. And then, of course, dealing with the waste product and eliminating that, which is a form of detoxification, purification of the body and so forth, so that perpetuation of that strength, that newfound strength and development can continue. So after that third year of challenges, the waning of the intrigue, some people becoming less focused, some people reverting back to destructive, self-destructive behaviors and so forth. And that, is totally dependent on their level of spiritual work and consistency and so forth. You have some who are focused, who are disciplined. They pick up that slack. And then when you come out of that third year and you get into the fourth year, and that number four, dealing with those four sons of Heru, that foundational effort, just like the four points, which is the foundation of a Meru or a pyramid and so forth. When you get to that fourth year, now you're dealing with a streamlined, purified, established group of individuals who will move forward to perpetuate this institutional effort. Those who are aware of the nature of the four sons of Heru, and when we're talking about the four sons of Heru, the purification and perpetuation of the life cycle within the institution and the Omine, the nation, the communal body, just like these four sons of Heru governing the lungs and the stomach and the liver and the intestines are purifying and perpetuating with regard to the life cycle within the physical body and the spirit body as well. The same thing with the institutional effort. The same thing with the communal body of your mind, the nation. Those who are aware of the nature of the four sons of Heru, the Mesut Heru, we understood that this is the process through which we must traverse. We have been aware of every step within this cycle as each year unfolded. We have now made it to the new beginning, the fourth year. And this year, this June 22nd coming up is that fourth annual Ojiramine Afashe, Ojiramine Nation Building Conference, and so forth. It is the time of purification and perpetuation of our identity as Ojiramine, specifically for those who are focused, serious, and disciplined. So when we're establishing these events, and the same is true with regard to our Hoodoo Mine, Hoodoo Nation Festival, as well as the Etchisign Ancestor Religious Reversion Conference and so forth. This past October was our fourth annual Hoodoo Mine, Hoodoo Nation Festival. A couple of months ago in March was our fourth annual Etchisign Ancestor Religious Reversion Conference. And at these two events, we showcased our documentary film. And then June 22nd is our fourth annual Ojiramine Conference, Nation Building Conference, and so forth. And even when you look at Hoodoo Mine and Etchisign in October and March, we were able to showcase and screen our documentary film, which is laying the foundation for ancestral religious reversion, our people reverting back to our pure, pristine ancestral religious traditions that are born of our blood circles. We're not dependent on anybody on the continent of Africa, Afrikaida, or in the Caribbean or South America and so forth, or Central America, to give us our ancestral religious traditions. We maintain those in our blood circles here in North America, and we are reverting to those. This is reversion, not conversion. This has been the missing link with regard to people involved in various forms of nationalism, Pan-Africanism, and so forth, not being grounded in ancestral religious values. And your ancestral religious values are not ancestral religious values that you learn because you believe you never preserved anything, and you believe you're an empty, ignorant vessel, so therefore you have to travel to Ghana, Nigeria, the Gambia, South Africa, Africa, or somewhere else, or the Caribbean, to get a tradition because you falsely believe that your people preserved nothing over the past three centuries. When you do that, you're simply imitating contemporary Ghanaians, Nigerians, South Africans, Gambians, people in Sierra Leone or wherever you have traveled, or in the Caribbean. Our ancestral religious practice have to do with our locative identity. How did we learn to interface with the forces in nature in this region of the Earth Mother's body to procure medicine, to purify ourselves, heal ourselves, but also for root work, for chemical and biological warfare to kill our enemies, because we established that precedent? How do we engage the forces in nature to see how to live in harmony with plant life, animal life, mineral life, and other Afurakani human life, so we can establish sovereign, independent nations, defend ourselves, learn the best means by which to fight against the whites and their offspring, establish independent, sovereign nations that defend those nations intergenerationally. That comes from our ancestral religious practices. We have our pure, authentic ancestral religious practices that we've passed down intergenerationally and transcarnationally that informs our nation building process. If we do not have that, our nation building process is weak, it's ineffective, and that has been proven. The weak and ineffective pseudo nation building processes that have been happening over the past 100 plus years that have led to nothing have been proven, because they haven't led to any success over 100 plus years. We're no closer to independence, sovereignty, security, and that sovereignty today than we were 100 years ago following those programs. But then when you look at the people who actually embraced ancestral religion, they freed themselves from enslavement in their lifetimes. And their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren lived free and independent in sovereign nations. And even when we forced the end of enslavement, people who were intelligent, grounded in ancestral religious traditions, they moved forward and established the entire Black independent Black town movements, where we were establishing hundreds of independent Black towns, where you had other people trying to fit into white culture, trying to integrate into white culture, and that's never worked and it never will work. So this is what we're dealing with. This is what we're talking about when we talk about nation building rooted in ancestral religious values. We must move forward in an intelligent fashion. And that is only manifest through our ancestral religious practices, because through our ancestral religious practices, we have insight to how we should be functioning harmoniously as cells within the great divine body of the Supreme Being, but specifically in this region of the Earth Mother's body. So the four sons of Heru directly impact that, just like they impact your visceral organs to perpetuate and purify the life cycle. They perpetuate and purify the life cycle within the communal body, within the Omine, within the Afurakani Afurakaidi nation, inclusive of the Afurakani Afurakaidi nation in the Western Hemisphere. So we understood that cycle. We saw how things would unfold. We understood what was coming forward. We understood that when we first establish these conferences and so forth, people would be very excited because it was brand new. It was based on our work. It's based on the truth of the information that we put forward that other people have not yet put forward or were not aware of and so forth. And we were striking a new but old course and so forth, getting back on track with reality based on divine order. So people were very excited. And then the second year, things would simply expand. But then you get to that third year when things begin to get serious and people begin to fall away because they've been conditioned against that. Of course, when you embrace your ancestral religious traditions, you can overcome any conditioning. But some of our people have not yet moved in that direction. They begin to fall and face these challenges. So you will begin to see some of that excitement begin to wane amongst a certain segment within the population. But we continue doing that work. And we continue doing that work. And within that third year, that's when we moved forward and began to film our documentary film. And now we're moving into the fourth year. We released the documentary film, and that is an institution in and of itself. To date, people in 13 countries have downloaded the film and watched the film. We went to a number of different cities, 14 plus cities, screening the film, and we're still going to be screening the film in a number of different cities as well, and having panel discussions and so forth. We are reestablishing ancestral religion born of our blood circles. Ancestral religious reversion, Etchi-Sign, is now being promulgated not only around the country, but also around the world in a much greater fashion than it was before, when we were simply putting forward our broadcast and our free book downloads and so forth. The next phase from print, which are the books, audio, which are the broadcasts, is the final phase, which is visual, which is the film. And this is why we're moving towards our next, and working on our next film as well, which will be even more expansive and build upon the first film. So we understood that, and we started that process in the third year. We completed that process in the third year, and then we moved into the fourth year. At the beginning of the fourth year was the Hoodoo Mind, Hoodoo Nation Festival, which was this past October, which was the beginning of our year of 13,019. A few weeks before that, that was the fourth annual Hoodoo Mind, Hoodoo Nation Festival, and we showcased our film at the festival. And then we moved into March, and we showcased the film once again for people in the Etchi-Sign Conference in March, for those who weren't able to attend the Hoodoo Mind Festival and so forth. And now we're getting close, and that was the fourth annual Etchi-Sign Conference, and now we're getting to the fourth annual Ojiramain Afashe Nation Building Conference, Nationism, Purification of Nationalism. And we're in that time of purification and moving forward in a streamlined, foundational focus. This is what we want to bring forward. When you look on our page, Ojiramain Afashe, you'll see the various details about the upcoming conference on June 22nd. The conference is free. Of course, it's open to Afurakani, Afurakani people only. We will be releasing our book on the nature of Ojiramain, the purified nation, Afurakani, Afurakani people in the Western Hemisphere, and Amaniye Nationism, the purification of nationalism. We will be giving away a free copy of that book to everyone who attends the conference. And this, by the way, is what we do with all of our three conferences, festivals throughout the year. They are always free, and we always give away a free copy of one of our books to everybody who attends. The only difference this year was when we showcased the film, people paid for a screening for the film, which was a different kind of thing, because we were screening the film and people would pay to come out and just like purchasing a ticket for the film. And that was part of the process to pay for the venue and everything else. But this Ojiramain conference, free like all of our previous conferences have been, open to our people only. And then you also get a free book on Ojiramain, everyone who attends. Registration is required. Registration is free, but registration is required. There's one difference with regard to our conference, however. We do have our Egua Marketplace vendors at the conference and so forth, and we've always had that at all of our conferences every year, all 4 years. The same is true here. But the difference with this Ojiramain conference, instead of having a number of presenters like we normally would do, we would have a number of presenters in aspects of nation building, and then we would have our marketplace vendors all throughout the day. It's an all-day conference. This year, it's going to be an all-day workshop from 11 o'clock to 4 o'clock. We will have a vegan food vendor available, so when we break intermission, people can purchase food and so forth. But what we're going to do, instead of having a number of different presenters presenting on different aspects of the principal values of nation building, what we're going to do is we're going to go through the book. It's going to be a training session. basically an all-day training workshop seminar on the nature of Ojira Man and those seven principal values of Ojira Man, the purified nation, and Amaniye nationism, the purification of nationalism. When you look at our seven-part series that we did on Blog Talk on Ojira Man, the book is going to be based on that seven-part series. And if you look at the titles of those specific broadcasts, we'll go through them very quickly so you can see. And you'll see them on our Ojira Man Afashe page. The first broadcast is Ojira Man, the Purified Nation, describing what that is. The second broadcast is Ajo and Ajua Asar Naset, Institution Building and Continuity. The third broadcast is Nanasom, Afurakani Afrikaini, the Ancestor Religion, the Key to Our Liberation. The fourth broadcast in that series was Ebo, the Nature of Worth and Value in Ancestral Economics. So we're dealing with economic development rooted in our ancestral religious values. Part five is Abine, the Nature of Government in Afurakani Afrikaini, African Ancestral Culture. So we have our own governmental structures that we need to establish, and that's rooted in our ancestral culture. We don't imitate governmental structures for our own mind, for our nation, imitating, for example, the Congress and, you know, the legislative bodies that the whites and offspring have established. We don't imitate their approach to governance. We have our own approach to governance, rooted in our clans. Part six is Kuro, Afurakani Afrikaini, African Black Town Incorporation Movement. And as we continue to develop and get back on track spiritually and become grounded, then we move towards that independent incorporation movement that we were successful in affecting over 100 years ago, hundreds of black towns. We move back in that direction. But first, we must purify ourselves spiritually. We don't need to bring the same foolish vices, idiotic vices, self-destructive behaviors into the establishment of independent towns and incorporating towns and so forth. We don't need alcoholics and drug addicts and promiscuous individuals being self-destructive, people trying to engage in miscegenation, all kinds of deviance that we learn from the whites and our offspring, and we've been trying to rationalize as part of our culture, which is pure stupidity. We separate ourselves from that, and we separate ourselves from individuals who keep rationalizing that foolish self-destructive behavior. We deal with people who are serious, and we move forward with people who are serious, focused, and disciplined, and anybody who is not that, we have nothing to do with that. They can continue to be self-destructive on their own. If they want to come out of that self-destructive behavior, then we have already laid out that process through the publications, the books, the institutions, and so forth. They can correct themselves, but you don't move into establishing independent sovereign spaces with people who are rationalizing self-destructive idiotic behavior. You cut yourselves off from such individuals and you build with people who are serious, focused, and disciplined, and that is it. So, and then you have part seven, Amaniye, Afurakani Afrikaini, African Ancestral Culture, the Key to Our Integrity. So those seven, that seven-part series, the book is based on that seven-part series. That's the book we'll be giving away for free at the conference. And that is the book that we will be going through from the entire day. It'll be an all-day workshop with, you know, breaks in between, but it's an all-day workshop, an intensive workshop, so people can become grounded in that identity as Ojira Man, as part of the purified nation, Afurakani, Afrikaini people in the Western Hemisphere, and functioning as Amaniye Fo or African Black Nationists, as opposed to nationalists. We are an Afurakani, Afrikaini, African Black Nationists who practice nationism or Amaniye. So this is what we will be dealing with on that day. And all of the information you will see on our link, when you look on our page, you'll see that information. When you look on the page on Facebook, you'll see that information as well. When you look here for the show, you'll also see that we established a crowd fund for this conference so we can secure the venue. Of course, the conference is free. We do have to cover the venue expense to rent the venue out. We don't yet have a physical benefits for our own institution that will be coming as we raise more funds through our film and so forth. We'll be able to, purchase a building for our own institution. That's what we're working towards with proceeds from the film. But until that happens, we have to rent out a space. So we rent out a space for, 6 to 7 hours. We have to cover that expense because it's a free event for the community. And then we'll be giving away a free copy of the book like we've done at our various conferences. Those of you who have come to our conferences, you know you come to a free conference, then everybody receives a book. Even when we've done presentations around the country, whether we were talking about the Okra Complex or Kuku Tum Tum or whatever book we were speaking on, we would always, our lectures will always be free to the community and no matter what city we're in. And then we would give away a free copy of the book that we were presenting on to everybody who attended the conference. So we do the same thing, or the lecture. We do the same thing with our conferences. Those of you who have come to conferences, it's a free conference and you also receive a free book. So we have to print those books out. We print our books out in color on our own printers in-house. So we have to cover the printing expense, this free conference, and the free book giveaway. And we also have to cover the rental expense for that. And typically, it's always been a handful of people, four or five people, us as well as four or five people who support us, who would contribute funds to support that. But we have thousands of people on a monthly basis. For example, on average, between 4,000 to 5,000 people who download our books on a monthly basis, our free books. People have seen our films. People have come to our presentations. The more people who can contribute, the easier it is for us. It should just, fall on four or five people who contribute 2, 3, 4, or 5 times to these kinds of efforts to make things happen. So if you've benefited from any work that we have done, any of our free book downloads, any of our free book giveaways at any conferences or lectures that we've done and so forth, take time to go contribute to our crowdfund for this conference so we can secure the venue as soon as possible. We have a couple of places that we can rent from. We haven't secured the venue as of yet. This is going to be an all-day conference, so it's a little bit more expensive. So please contribute to that effort. It's on the fundraiser platform, ojiramai_afashe_13019, the link on the page. You can also go and see our documentary film. You can download that and watch that on demand online right now. You can rent it for $11. You can purchase it for $16. You can also purchase the DVD. That also assists us as well. When you purchase the DVD, for example, that not only assists us with the efforts, but it also assists us with the cost of going to travel to the different states to film this next film. But we've already started that process in South Carolina in February. So we have a crowdfunding effort for our Hoodoo film as well, but the link you'll see the link in the on the page. So that is it for this broadcast, the Amai Sim Affairs of the Nation broadcast. We typically have that as a one-hour broadcast. The other broadcast during the week for our Kanfo Nana Som, Ancient Authentic Akan Ancestral Religion on Joda Monday nights, Ojira, which is on Tuesday nights, Benanda, Edgua Marketplace, which is on Awukuda, Kuada Wednesday nights. Those broadcasts are 2 hours each. The Amai Sim Affairs of the Nation is dealing with specific issues that arise that confront us as an Omain, as Ojiramai, the purified nation, as well as any institutional efforts that are moving forward or upcoming that are going to benefit everyone within the Omain, within Ojiramai, the purified nation. So we typically set aside an hour for this broadcast on Yada Abada Thursday night. So we're going to end the broadcast here. But if you have any questions, simply email us on Facebook. We're going to be doing some more broadcasts. We may not do every 4 times a week, but as things arise, we will be addressing some things. We do have some broadcasts that we're going to be doing next week. But as for now, on one hand, if you have not yet seen our film, we've received rave reviews from people all over the world. 13 different countries, including the United States, but also South Africa, Ghana, Barbados, Jamaica, the United Kingdom, Sweden, Germany, France, Thailand, where our people are in these different areas, a number of different places around the world, Canada and so forth, of course, the United States, rave reviews from everyone who's seen the film, and of course, when we went from city to city to city all over the country, every time we showcased the film, everyone was appreciative of the film, and they were very empowered as well as illuminated by the information, and also encouraged to go back to their own blood to begin to reestablish their ancestral religious traditions from their blood circles as they saw showcased and examined and explored in the film. So you can download that film right now, going to our website, and you can also assist us by purchasing the DVD that will assist us as well. So you'll see all of the information there. And finally, the Dubakon Training Intensive and Ritual Retreats on the Akradin Bosom, the deities of the 7 days of the week. As we talked about last night in our broadcast, June 2nd in Washington, D.C. First of all, the Memorial Day weekend in Savannah, Georgia. We have a couple of spaces left open for that retreat, 2-day retreat. You can register now to reserve your space as soon as possible. On June 2nd, we'll be in Washington, D.C. It's a 1-day, all-day training intensive and ritual retreat for the Dubako Akradin Bosom. June 9th, Atlanta, Georgia. June 15th, Philadelphia. June 16th, Toronto, Canada. June 29th, Durham, North Carolina. So we have a few spaces in these different ritual retreats. For the registration fee, you receive the 4 books on the Akradin Bosom, as well as vegan food and so forth during the course of the training, which are all-day trainings and so forth. You'll see the details about that. You can listen to last night's broadcast and get all of the details about that. But if you would like to attend any of these retreats in any of these cities, do reserve your space with a deposit as soon as possible before the spaces are taken up. So, again, Yerase, we thank you for tuning into our broadcast. And Yebeshia Bio, we will meet again. That's all.